everyone. So we're going to do some coaching. We're going to get it on. I feel like that little, what was that little, that old man back in the boxing days? Let's get it on. that's like me today. All right. I'm like in a totally good mood. I'm just going to warn everyone. I am feeling like my sassy pants are on. All right. Let's see who's getting coached. Joy's got her hand up. So I'm imagining she's one. Joy. So I will start with you. Raising a hand high and proud. And then Sherry, Lauren, and Adrian. You're the ones I'll be looking for next. So you can raise your hand if you get in here. Hang on. Let me get my stuff going. Hello.
Hi.
It's friend.
That's right.
I hear about you a lot. Yeah. Yes. I think you might know my son more than you know me now.
He's an awesome. He's awesome.
He's hilarious.
Yeah. Let's get it on. I like that.
I don't know what is wrong with me today, but like I had a Marco Polo this morning. And I was just like, oh, like all the things. I have been going since 4:30 this morning. Like just woke up feeling good. So we're going to roll it. Oh, and by the way, I just want everybody to see some of the new shirts that are going to be released.
I was loving it. I didn't see the PNP. I'm glad you showed it because I didn't see the PNP tribe at the bottom. I was already admiring it.
It's got PNP tribe at the bottom. We've got another one for no matter what. We've got a tribe one. They'll be coming out in about a week from now. So we are.
This
is the final. And if everybody says, like, no, they're t-shirts, but my pits have to breathe. And so I always cut the sleeves right off. Yeah. Like I was telling somebody yesterday, I'm like, these things can't be like choked down with cotton.
No. Too hot for that. Too hot for that. Okay,
Queenie. Let me say one thing. Betsy, will you pop over into Facebook and let them know that we're live over here just so that anybody who's farting around on Facebook knows to get their ass in here. All right, now we're ready. What are we coaching on?
Okay, well, first let me say, so I'm an April baby. I've lost 30 pounds. I'm super excited about that. When I started, I had this thought that I've heard a lot of other people say when on coaching calls and things that I was good at everything else in my life except for losing weight.
Yes.
And as I've done this thought work, I have learned that I was choosing things that I was really good at that I knew were not a big risk for me to fail. So,
right.
That said, I have loved all this work. Actually, the other day I got on the scale and I was like, I'm 30 pounds down and I've already changed so much and I can't wait to see, like, my goal is 110. Like, I was just so excited for what's to come because I know I've changed so much. So that to say, what I want coaching on is there is this kind of looming thought that I don't like and I'm trying to swat it away, but my brain wants some resolution to it.
Okay.
So you can help me. So you know that I'm 6'1", and so I have just always felt big, even when I wasn't overweight. So when I've lost weight in the past and gotten to a great goal, healthy weight, and I never had that feeling of, now I love this body.
Okay.
Because right? I just felt big. I remember at 10 years old realizing I was bigger than my friend's moms and my feet were bigger. And I wasn't overweight. I mean, I was a college athlete. I was not overweight until, but I always felt that.
Yeah, yeah.
This fat girl thinking, I think, is what I'm calling it. Although I wasn't a fat girl back then, I think I was having some fat girl thinking.
Well, you were shaming your body. I mean, you know, and one, it doesn't always have to be weight. I have a lot of friends that are very thin. And are still like body shamers of themselves. They compare themselves to other people. They're always sizing themselves up. That, you know, nothing's ever going to be perfect. It's very interesting you're having this call with me because I literally have been, next week's weekend motivator is about this.
Oh, good.
I'm working on it personally. I have found a whole new level of work to do on myself. And I'm experimenting with a lot of things. So this will be a good call. So I can like just throw some new shit at you.
Yeah.
So tell me, like, well, keep going. Just keep going. What is what is it you want to reconcile?
I feel like
I'm gonna turn my other light on. I can hear you. I just need to.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Mic for a hot second.
So I feel like it's like 50 shades of big. So whatever size I am, honestly, I think that's also what's allowed my weight to creep up is that I'm just big. So what's a little bit more big? I mean, I know I'm loving the changes in my body as it goes down, but I've never just gotten, I worry about when I get to that goal, this is my thought that I want to go away, that when I get to that goal, it's not going to feel much different. I'm still just going to feel huge.
Yeah.
And I
want you to first recognize the only reason you have that thought is because you've had that thought in the past.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's why it's coming back. You know, your brain is always just going to send up the thoughts that it's used to.
Okay.
And if that was what you thought the last time, of course your brain is immediately going to go to, okay, well, we're going to need to think about this new body. What did we used to think?
Yeah.
You know, like our brain wants to go to the past. That's what the habit brain wants to do. It wants to like just regurgitate what we've always believed. And our problem is that we don't just say like, and that's okay. But now we want to like start working on what does the future me want to be believing? That's why it's really important to always lead weight loss from a place of looking to your future and not to your past. Yeah. You can get more of what you got. Like you'll lose weight and you'll get more of not liking your body.
Right.
Unless you look to the future.
Because I think I'm trying to look to my future, but then that when I hit that thought of this is what my body could look like or what this weight could feel like, then that past thought just comes right back up.
You got to choose what you wanted to think when you get there.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
43.
All right. As 43 years old, someone who does thought work, someone who's completely different than the last time she was that size.
Right.
Like, and you didn't have any drama about it. Like, what would you be just telling yourself when you get to that new body?
So that's hard because I've thought about this, honestly, and I've thought about, I want to just love my body because it's strong and it does the things I need it to do. But that was, as a college athlete, you better believe I loved my body because it was strong and it did what I needed to
do. You didn't love, but, you just stepped in the thought doo-doo line.
Okay.
You did not love your body because you were an athlete and you were strong. You loved your body because you thought those things.
Okay.
Here's how we know it's not because of that. There are college athletes with body dysmorphia who are strong and thin. And there are Olympic athletes that all of us would cut an arm off to have.
Right.
And they sit there and look at themselves and they judge themselves. So really, like, this is one of the things that I'm working on. And I want you to really think about. Remind yourself that the reason why you were happy in that body, the reason why you liked that body, was because you chose thoughts that created those feelings. I am an athlete. I am strong. I am these things, whatever it is. But I want you just to set aside, if you could just wake up each day and just feel, this is what I would love to think about my body. I wish this came naturally. Like, that's a good question. What do you wish came naturally to your brain?
To hop up out of bed and not think about my body. Like, to enjoy getting dressed because I like the clothes and it's fun, but not to...
I want all of you hear this. She said, I'd like to hop out of bed and just not even think about my body. You know what I want to do naturally? Yeah. I want to hop out of bed every day and be like, fuck yes. Like, if I could choose anything, I would not be like, I would just like to be neutral. Or I just want to like not even think about it. You know what I want to do? I want to be like one of those people who's like, oh my God, I love myself so much. Like,
yeah.
What are we doing today? Because it's going to be great. Like, I want to be that person.
Well, and I mean, to be really honest, I'm not a person who struggles with every day. I'm like, on a lot of things, I'm like, fuck yeah, let's go see what we can do today. But my body's not one of them. So I think that the thinking like that is so foreign to me to even...
But that's why I want you to like dream about it. I don't want you to be right. I don't want you, like, what's happening in your brain right now is, well, that sounds good, but oh my God, this area sucks. It has always sucked. I don't have it. Like, your brain is just arguing. And all I'm saying is like, you don't have to believe any of it. I just want you to at least open the door to what you might want. Because if you don't know what you would really like for your body, then we can't even baby step our way there.
Okay. I think that's where I'm feeling lost. Like, I don't, I don't have a picture of what that looks. I don't feel like I've ever loved my body in a way other than the way it was serving me, like to do my sport or to it was a tool, but yeah. I don't think I've connected to like it as a source of something I'm proud of or excited about. Or
well, let's just say you lose 110 pounds. Like if you lose 110 pounds, if you could just choose, like if the good Lord came down and said, "Hey Joy, I'm going to lop 110 pounds off of you and I'm going to let you believe anything you want about your body for the rest of your life." You would say, like, this is the sentence. Give it to me.
That it's hot, that I'm sexy, that I am comfortable in my skin, that I strut my stuff, you know, like not in a slutty way, but just like that I walk with confidence in this body because I know I've worked hard for it. And because
I've worked hard for it.
Yeah.
I'm hot and I've worked hard for it. I mean, that's what I want you to see first. You have to you have to know what you ultimately want. And what's happening is you're reinforcing that you don't like yourself by saying, well, come on now. We can't even come up with a good one because that's probably never going to happen. That's what's going on in your brain. And we need to get to where we can, hang on. We got to at least get to where we can bypass that part.
Okay.
So then the next step is, okay, so if we want to know, we want to be one day, I'm hot and I've worked hard for this. Yeah. That is the thought we practice now.
Okay.
With complete disbelief.
Yeah.
That's the part that I need you to not feel like something's going wrong or anything like that. All you're really doing is you're making yourself practice that thought in the very moment you don't want to.
Okay.
I want you all to hear that because it's such a skill to be able to make yourself think something that you're not all in on, that you don't believe, that you could have all the evidence for something else, but it's like, no, damn it. We're at least going to say this sentence in our brain for now.
And then period. So in our tall tribe, we have this challenge called I like no buts and I cannot lie. And it's like, you have to say something nice about yourself and not say the but.
Yeah. Da, 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 da. Well, the important part of making yourself think it on purpose is one, you start making yourself think on purpose, which is a skill we all need in order to lose all of your weight. There's going to be so many times you're going to have to think something on purpose, like now is not snack time.
Right.
You know, right. This is not when we emotionally eat. This is when we cry. You know, you have to be willing to think on purpose. So doing it with your body is good practice. Your brain will associate the idea of turning on the thoughts for all kinds of different situations. So that's one of the benefits. The other thing that it really does is that when you sit there and you think, I'm hot and I've worked hard for this, your brain will be forced to start creating evidence at some point.
Okay.
And it will start noticing you know what? I think you do look better today. Or it will do something along the lines of every time you don't have a snack, it'll be and you're working hard.
Yeah.
It will start reinforcing whatever it is you decide to deliberately think often enough.
Okay.
Now, there's probably tons of times where you catch yourself liking what you see because you've lost 30 pounds and you're dismissing it according to the thought of, I'm always going to be big. I don't know what that's going to be like at the end.
Yeah. Nope. So this morning I was cleaning out my closet because I have every size. So I was throwing out the bigger and I have some of the smaller. And as I was putting them away for later, I was like, but even then, and it did, even when I was that size, I didn't like it. And so just this morning, I mean, I was in my closet doing that. And instead of work hard and get in those jeans and then get in jeans you don't even own yet. There's a whole size you don't own that you're going to get into.
There's jeans up there waiting for Joy to come and adopt them.
They are. They are. Just wait for me, but have a long inseam. That's all I ask.
Well, that's why they need you. They're like, hardly anyone wears us. We're just on the shelf.
Yeah.
And then this is a thought that I'm working on that I hope will be helpful is, so I uncovered a really insidious thought of mine just 2 days ago that, like, I swear to God, as much as I coach, you would think I would notice all thoughts. And this one I would have just probably said, that's true, is I'll never have the body I want.
Yeah.
Like, you know, to me, it wasn't even defeating. It was just like, and this is the way it is. It was very resigned. Like, you know, because in my mind, the picture of the body I want, you know, this body is not going to get there. Period.
Right.
I got loose skin. For fuck's sure, I ain't going to look 20.
Yeah.
Right. Unless that man comes down and he's giving you thoughts, he's going to give me new skin.
Yeah.
And so my girlfriend and I were talking about it, who coaches me. And the thought that I'm going to be practicing is, I will never have the body I want, and that's okay. Learning to accept, that's like the first step of learning to accept the body I have. Because once you accept the body you have, then it's so much easier to create the story that you want around that body.
Yeah.
So I think just, you know, considering some of that, you know, Yeah. Taking the work that you think is important. But I really think for you, it's like, one, you need a deliberate practice of whether you think it all the time or you write it every single day. Like, this is the thought I'm working towards. I'm hot and I've worked hard.
Okay.
This is the one that's going to give me fuel and energy to keep me on track. Like, I'm going to have to do things, you know, I'm going to have to keep losing my weight. And then the baby step out of where you're at is whatever thought you think you need next. Like, what is the most painful thought you have right now about it? And it doesn't have to be like, I'm crying, but what do you think? What is your doo-doo thought about it? I'm not going to be big, or it was big. You had wrote stuff about there.
Yeah, it was, I was feeling big. It's weird because this is totally me. I mean, my husband tells me I'm hot. He thinks I'm hot. This is not from anybody. This is just from Joy's brain. And
it always is, though. I want to say, Joy, it always is. I don't care. We've got people in here whose husbands will say, you are too big. You're too tall. You're a fat pig. They will say all the things. What you think about you still is all you. It doesn't come from anyone else ever. But, you know, and how we know that is because he is saying amazing things.
Right.
And that's not working. That's why we always know it comes from us, whether it's negative or positive. I just don't want anybody who's listening to be like, well, that's nice. My husband says these, so that's why I feel like doo-doo. It's like, no. We all are responsible for our own thoughts.
I don't know what the worst doo-doo thought is. I think my scariest doo-doo thought, I have a couple. One is like, I'll never be able to shop in a regular store. Cause even when I was like at my thinnest, I was still like so big that I needed the length from the, so I would shop like at the plus size stores, but by their smallest, like the 12 or 14. And that just felt yucky to me to shop there. I don't know why I shop there now. It's the only place I can find clothes now. And that's just
you want to work on, because you could also feel amazing shopping there.
Right.
And just be like, it's because I'm fucking tall. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with my body. I'm just a tall drink of water.
Well, and also, I don't know.
I'd be up in my tutu.
Yeah. And I don't know now. I mean, I haven't worn those sizes in years and years. So maybe there's some place that does sell longer. I mean, I know this in my head, but that's still like when I went through my closet, I was like, oh, I'm still not going to be able to just walk in the mall and buy off the rack. But I also, I make my own money now. I can buy custom clothing if I need to. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? It's just funny. My brain just wants to like, squash.
How about we do a thought like, I'll figure out where I'm shopping when I look at my weight.
Yeah.
Now it is like, just be like, laugh it off. Like, I love how I'm thinking about shit that I have no idea what's going to happen.
So, I mean, my brain is, I'm going to do it. Obviously, if I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to shop, at least I know I'm going to do it, you know, and that I'm going to lose the weight. I'm not struggling with, well, I can, I, like, I know I'm doing this.
Yeah.
What was the other one? There was one more when you asked for a duty thought. Oh, my big fear is that I'm going to do all this work. Well, and I don't know. So I don't know if I do all the mental work on the way down, maybe it won't happen. I give myself room for that. But my fear is that I'm going to do all this work. I'm going to get to the weight that my goal weight. and I'm just still going to wake up every day and hate getting dressed and feel gross.
Well, and I want you to just tell yourself that you will, like, I don't have a power thought other than I want you just to believe that if you get there in a way where you don't self-loathe the whole time and you don't fear and you don't worry, then when you get there, you're excited. Like, yeah. You generate your excitement on the way down. So the more you identify thoughts that aren't serving you, the more you reroute your brain and the more you think on purpose. I mean, one thought that always works for me when it comes to lots of things is the more I think on purpose, the better I feel. Because I'm not going to on purpose choose shitty thoughts.
Right.
You know, if I just let my brain wander and just be like, you know, think whatever you want, then I'm going to probably usually, like, 70% of the time, your brain is always throwing up shade. That's just the way the brain's made. So it's not like, oh my God, that's terrible. It's like, no, I would rather think on purpose and create the feelings that I want.
Well, and honestly, this call helped so much because I couldn't even think of what the thought, what you helped me get to that. Like, if God came down today and let you have any, like, I'm going to go, I just broke the lipstick trying to get ready for this. I'm going to go use that broken lipstick and write it on my mirror.
Yeah.
I'm hot and I work
it every day. And this is the thing. It's like, just remember, the only thing, like, we don't need God to come down and give us a thought.
No.
The only thing stopping it is the other sentences that need to be managed. That's it.
Yeah.
Nothing else has to change. Your body doesn't even have to change.
Right.
You know, like, right. If you want to start liking yourself, then you just start figuring out the ways you don't and stop thinking in that way and you flip it. There's nothing wrong with loving yourself all the way down.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think I do. Honestly, I feel like I totally do. But again, this one area is where I couldn't even grasp my thought that I was looking to go to. So I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Yeah. So you're not coming in October, correct?
I am. The whole time. It's going to be the first time we meet in person. Oh my gosh. Watch out. Watch out.
He was telling me yesterday about the pool. He said, he was like, I really want to come on Saturday night, but mama, 350 people. He said, and I know everyone's going to want to meet me, but I really just want to connect with my good friends.
That's right.
He was like, you know who they are, aren't you? And I was like, Joy, Tanya, April. I started like listing all his friends.
Yeah. So he had a very interesting conversation the other day about the calendar. I gave him some things to ponder. He's supposed to do some research for me.
He's funny. He loves y'all. So
I love him too. All right. Talk.
Bye. My son, the little ladies, man. Sherry, you're not here, so I'll go with Lauren. Sherry, if you're here, just raise your hand. We got tall tribes, shorty tribes. We got all the tribes. Hello.
Hi.
How can I help you today? Good. I love, is that your headboard?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Thank you. And I don't know if you can see my little picture of my cow up there.
Aw, I am always like, whenever y'all get on a call, the first thing I do is like look at background and be like, what do I like?
Yeah.
So what we coach, let's see, I don't know what you have. Oh shit, I can't read. Just tell everybody what you're coaching on. I ain't got my glasses.
Yeah, so I guess what I need coached on today is how to go from surviving to thriving. So okay. I'm an April baby, and when I joined, it just felt like breathing. It was super easy. I just felt really good with my plans. I even felt good when I was doing my 2-minute recovery drill. I took my before picture, and I'm like, this girl is looking good.
Yeah.
And then in April, I broke a bone in my foot, and okay. I had to have surgery. And so I'm like, okay, I'm still going to work through this. And I couldn't do all the four basics because, you know, I couldn't move like on crutches. And so I'm like, let's just focus on one. Maybe it's just the water and sleep. So I just kept working.
What did the crutches have to do with the four basics?
Nothing. That was my excuse. You're right. I just, I just wanted to grab whatever I could easily carry from the kitchen to the bed. So there's days I didn't eat like full meals. Like I wasn't eating. It's okay. Like, too painful to move. I'm like, whatever I can grab in hands reach. There was no planning that was happening.
Okay.
Then I got better, as in I got used to, like, this is my new life now. I'm going to be on crutches for a minute. Even went to Austin, just was thriving. Then in June, I had blood clots in my lungs and had to be rushed to the hospital.
Oh, Jesus.
In ICU. I get emotional about it, and I don't know why. It just feels so recent. The doctor said I could have died. And so I've just been in this anxiety reel of just fear, because, you know, you just don't get out the hospital. There's like 1,000 doctor's appointments afterwards. There's physical symptoms from, like, blood clots. There's all this stuff that just kind of keeps you in, like, this hole. And so I'm finally coming out of it where it's getting better. The doctor's appointments are, like, spaced out now. And I still feel like there's, like, this wall, and I'm trying to get back to being better. And I've started, like, module one of the four basics, like, over, like, 6 times, because I'm just trying to start over and just work through it. And then I realized on Monday that I was just running myself in a circle, that I wasn't facing anything. And so I think for some people it might just be easier to jump on a call, but for me, like, this took a lot to even just say, like, I need so much help. And so that's what I need help on today.
Well, let's start with congratulations on getting on a call. Yes. It's not easy, especially when you're feeling like you can't breathe and feeling like you're in a hole. One of the things that you are you familiar with the model yet? Have you done module 4?
No, I'm still on module 1. I just keep starting over and over because, you know, I go a couple days without doing plans. Like, it's just not consistent. So I'm like, I just have to keep starting over until I master this module 1. And
I think you've mastered module 1. You know the 4 basics. You're just not using them. So you don't need to learn more about them. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to keep doing that part. I'm going to want you to just skip to module 4 when we get, like, the next one I want you to take, because I'm fixing to coach you based off module 4. I needed to know how much understanding that you have of it.
Yeah.
So one of the things that you'll learn is that, you said something very striking, which is these doctor's appointments and this circumstance keeps me in a hole, as if that's what does it. Mm-hmm. The only thing that does it, it's going to be the story you tell about it in your head. Your story is, that's the cause of all of my pain. Now, I think that you also, we'll talk a little bit about just your biggest fear, probably, which is more death than it is anything. It's not like, we can tell a new story really easy around all these appointments and stuff, and we can think about it in such a better way that'll give you some immediate relief. But I think your biggest fear is, like, you're like most people. When you have a near-death experience, you need to work through it. It's shocking. It makes you start questioning yourself. It makes you, you know, value your life and want to shit or get off the pot with it too.
Yeah. Do I live a good life? Like, do I deserve the second chance? Like, what am I going to do that's different from how I lived my life before?
Well, let's answer a few questions then. Because here's the thing. Here's how I want you to think about your doctor's appointments and all this stuff. It's keeping me alive. It's here for a reason. Like, you can think 1,000 things other than it's depressing and keeping me in a hole. Mm-hmm. Like, no. This is, like, if you, somebody actually asked this question, and I want you to answer it. So what would you say of all of this? The blood clots was the worst thing that happened?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the worst thing that happened. Now tell me the best thing about it.
The fact that I got to the hospital so quickly, the fact that my mom was able to fly up to be with me, because I moved to California from Nashville about 2 years ago. So I had never been away from, like, my hometown other than college. And so I came out here and completely different experience. I might come back home to Nashville pretty soon.
Well, good. You'll be a national.
Yeah. Born and raised native. So it was nice to finally, like, I missed having family around, and I didn't realize how much I missed it until, you know, my mom had to fly up under this, you know, unfortunate
circumstances. One of the best things that happened is it made you value family.
Yes.
it made you question where you want to spend your days.
Yes.
With them or in California. What else could it have done?
It really made me, you know, everyone says like, listen to your body. And I just thought that was like just some bullshit. Cause I didn't understand like how you could listen to, cause my body wasn't telling me anything other than we need those bags of chips. But it really made me.
Now your body was not telling you that. What was telling you that?
I was
brain of ours.
But like, it really made me like, cause you get these sensations after blood clots. Like you either feel like lightheaded and sometimes you feel out of breath and sometimes there's like chest sensations. So just really like feeling like, oh, there's signs and there's symptoms that my body is saying, and I need to pay very close attention to it. Cause it could be life or death. And once you've had a blood clot in your lungs, you are at a very high risk of it reoccurring. So you now have to really listen to your body.
So you've learned probably the most, like it's taught you the most important skill for weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
What is the core, like what is one of the core basics? You've listened to that module 50,000 times now.
Mm-hmm.
What is one of the core things you have to be able to do?
Listening to your body and knowing when you're hungry and when you're not.
Yeah, you're probably like a PhD in that now versus our average girl who's listened to it 5,000 times too.
Mm-hmm.
But they have no compelling reason to be that in tune to themselves. So the reason why we're doing this is because it's really easy to feel a victim to our circumstance, which I have blood clots, I had a broke foot, I live in California.
Mm-hmm.
This is about all we got. And some doctor's appointments.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, your brain, this is what you'll work on in module 4. Your brain has constructed a story around it. Like, this keeps us in a hole. This is a near-death experience. This is, you know, the likelihood of it coming back is strong. It is not to say those things aren't true, but are they helpful for you to spend your time thinking on? So like, let's say the likelihood of it coming back. Okay. But you spending time there sucks for you.
It does.
A thought that would be way better is just time to get busy on making the most of this. What are we doing today to be our healthiest best? That's why, like, so often when something like this happens, like, doctors will tell you things. They'll tell you a lot of thoughts that will appear like a fact. Like, you mm-hmm. can die. It's like, well, yeah, everybody could. I don't go out to my car every day and think, well, before I drive, you know, you could die. One in so many people get in an accident and die. Mm-hmm. But, and I'm not downplaying your clots. I'm just saying there is a better way to think about this situation then I might die soon.
Yes.
I'll probably die from this. Like, those are just never going to allow you to drop fear and start embracing living life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and this is, I really want you on module 4. Like, literally, stop. I know, like, tell me the four basics. Just give me the oral report.
So at least 64 ounces of water. 7 to 8 hours of sleep, your 2 to 2 and your 24-hour plans, and also doing your assessments.
Yes.
And doing those recovery drills.
Yes, and working your realistic plan, right?
Yes.
That's it. You do not need to listen to it again. You know it. I now want you working more on your brain, because I'm going to tell you what's going to make you feel better is getting more, like, I don't know if you need to go to excitement about your life,
mm-hmm.
to go to gratitude. We need to go to some peace. We need to go to confidence.
Yes.
In control of my life. We start generating those feelings with how you're thinking about all of this. The four basics become way simpler to implement. It's not a matter of understanding them more. It's more about understanding where your head's at. So like when you get to module 4, it'll have the thought downloads and models in there.
Mm-hmm.
You'll love them. They're going to help you. And when you do them, I would go to ask coaches with them, when, especially in the beginning, because you're working on something like this. Like, you know, I got some mortality motivation working for me. Like, I need some coach help making sure I'm doing this right. Take it to Ask Coaches and let them help you with your models. It will be so good.
Yeah. No, this was extremely helpful. For the first time, I felt very hopeful, and I've missed that feeling.
Yeah. And I think that I can see why that it would not feel hopeful. Like if somebody doesn't, if something doesn't teach you how to take authority over the fear just runs the show.
Yeah.
You know? And this is the other thing. Don't, when you start, this is the thing that happens with the models and thought work. You start noticing all your thought errors and you're like, holy shit, I think I might be fucked up.
Yeah.
Not all this way. And I want you to have some compassion with yourself. You would not be a normal human being if it didn't scare you. And, you know, and maybe this happened at this time to get you to question. And how old are you? You got to be young.
32.
I was going to say, you're a tribe baby, a literal tribe baby. I always think my 30-year-olds are my babies.
I feel like I'm aging very well.
You are. I think that allowing yourself to believe that this is a time in my life, that this is when it needed to happen. Because I've got PNP, thought work, I'm young. This is, when I'm going to start deciding major things.
Yeah.
Like moving back to Nashville. That would be the best thing ever because that's where Corinne lives.
Yeah. And all of my family.
Yes.
And my best friend who got me into Tribe.
Oh, who is that?
Shannon Pargin.
Okay. Well, we have, does she live here too?
Yes, she does.
Have I met her?
I think she went to a couple of things.
Okay.
We're getting right. I know that she did the big dream board session that you did.
Okay. Okay. Because we just had a meetup at my house not too long ago. So I didn't know if she was here or not. We had 25 or 30 of us, but we're getting ready to have book club too next month. All right. Well, thank you.
No, thank you. This was very helpful.
All right. You take care. Okay. Bye. Okay. Lauren and Adrian. Is there an Adrian here? I got Lauren and Adrian. Oh, wait, I just did Lauren. Sherry and Adrian. Lord. Brains doo-doo. We have a Sherry? No. All right. Since they're not here, if you want to, we have 20 minutes left. If you want to get coached, raise your hand. Joanne, your hand is up. I don't know if you meant to. I'm going to give you a second. You were the first one. I'm going to do it. I'm always suspect just calling on someone who had their hand up because I'm always worried they're on the potty. Joanne, did you mean to want to get coached? I don't think so. Okay. Christy Stewart, an oldie but a goodie.
Hi.
Hello, Christy Stewart.
I wasn't planning on being coached, so.
That's all right.
Yeah, whatever. An oldie but a goodie, is that what you said?
Yes.
I love it. Okay, so yesterday, I want to process yesterday.
Okay.
Because I had let me go to another room. I gave my dog her big plastic ball to play with, and
okay,
I forgot she's got that. Okay.
Hey, tell everybody how much weight you've lost.
240 pounds.
Yeah. I just, that just needs a moment where it's said out loud, please. Somebody type in, holy fuck.
Yeah. I almost feel, it's hard for me to believe too. So, okay.
But you're 10 pounds away from losing me when I started. No shit. I mean, God, Christy, do you ever just want to just sit and bathe in your glory? I would. I'd roll in it.
I have not gotten there yet. One of these days.
You're going to have to get there because that's pretty fucking amazing. you've lost almost me back in the day. All right, so what are we processing? Did we have an overeat or a bad day, or what did we have?
Overeat.
Yeah. Do you all hear this? She's lost 240 pounds, and she still has her overeats. So that means you can have some and still lose weight. Go ahead.
So my husband left for India yesterday for 2 months.
Wow.
Yes, exactly. We found out about 2 weeks ago. So that felt really quick. The reason I've got a lot of anxiety about it, because 3 years ago, he had a brain aneurysm that ruptured. He almost died. Like, that's in medical records. So that's a circumstance.
Okay.
He almost died several times in that time span. He was in ICU on life support for a month. And so I'm having a lot of drama come up about that and him being, you know, in India and away from me for 2 months and away from the place where he gets his medical care and the place that saved his life, you know? So,
do you want to work on that or the overeat?
Well, both. I don't know. Cause it all goes together. My mind is really jumbled about this. I'm having a hard time, you know, being able to separate myself enough to coach myself on it, you know? So
what do you think is going to happen to him over there in India?
My brain tells me he's going to die and he's never coming back.
Is he going to die?
I hope not. I really hope not. I mean,
how long ago did he have an aneurysm?
It was 3 years ago. It was 3 years ago, May 10th.
And what makes India the trigger for aneurysms?
The only thing I can figure out is with him gone, it feels like he's back in ICU again, you know, with him not being here, you know, Emma, the lab misses him when he's gone, you know,
What is Emma? She's like, let Emma have her own model. It's about her husband, okay? Let's just be really focused. We're really trying to make this dramatic.
Yeah.
I want you to notice how my husband 3 years ago had an aneurysm. It near death experience is also a thought. Now I let you roll that one in there when you insisted it was a fact. No. A lot of people do not characterize. What if somebody said aneurysm when I got my shit together? I want you to really think about this, because I don't think that's helping you to think he had a near-death experience. Because now you're thinking he's always near death.
Yes.
He's made his trip to India mean he's near death.
Yes, that's it. I couldn't put my finger on it. But yes, it's like he continues to be near death at all times. And, I mean, the doctors have said that this was basically a one-off. You know, it was a congenital defect that, you know, he's not genetically predisposed and, you know, and I've been trying to like we did all the things, we got clearance from his doctor, you know what I mean? Like, and I tried to do all the things action wise to, you know, be like, okay, these insurances are in place. My parents got their passport just in case, you know. Maya, God bless her, has family in India. And she's like, okay, if anything happens, I will get on a plane with you and we will go out there. You know what I mean?
This is what you need to do. You need to tell your brain when it wants to just go to useless worry, because that's where it's going. And it's all stemming from, I'm afraid he's going to die.
And this is what all led to
India
yesterday.
Do what?
This is what led to the overeat yesterday. So that's why you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, anyway.
Yeah, because you got yourself all jacked up. And when you're all jacked up, the last thing you're going to do is manage a food urge.
Right.
I don't have time for food urges. You know what I'm doing? I'm worried about my husband dying. Yeah. His potential near-death experience is way more important. Let's eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think for you, it's going to be your brain just wants to go there. And you need to like reconcile. He didn't die. When you want to collect, it's so much easier to foster fear than it is to build confidence. I want y'all to think about this. Spiraling out in some fear is way easier, because all you have to do to be afraid is to just let your mind run wild. You don't have to direct your thoughts. You don't have to do anything. You just have to kind of just sit back and go, meh. And your brain will go to work on it. And then if you allow that to go on long enough, you get to have a snack.
Yeah.
Like, hey.
I was even mad yesterday. Like, I told, you know, Hot Mess Express. I was like, why, like, I'm so tired of all this fucking thought work. I was, like, mad at the model. I mean, I'm like, yeah. Why can't I just be sad? Why, you know, why does...
Be sad then.
Why do I have to be...
But here's the thing. You're not being sad. You're worrying.
Worrying, yeah.
And that is not being produced from sad. That's being produced from unmanaged fear.
Yeah.
If you want to be afraid, though, on purpose, then you need to sit down and you need to actually be afraid. And you're like, I am making a list of everything that I am afraid and worried about. And I'm going to put it all on paper just right here. Then I'm going to come back and I want to look at it like after I've woke up in the morning, like at a time when you're smart, engaged, Christy brain is in charge. Not when you're like, you just left and, you know,
dropped me off at the airport.
And now it's time to, like, you know, do my thought work. No, that's when you're like, you do the intermediate thought work, which is like, I feel bad right now, and that's normal. Like, that's just like all you got to do. You don't have to, like, sort thoughts out. You don't have to figure out what's causing it. Like, but what we normally do is like, I don't want to feel this. I should be happy, but I'm not. And we fight with ourselves on the inside until we get mad about something, and then we just eat to escape all of it.
Yeah.
And so I just think, like, for you, though, that near-death experience, I would do some models on that and just be like, this is how it keeps playing out over and over and over again. And what do we want to start in, like, not mean we, meaning you and yourself.
Yeah.
What do we really want to go back and like, what are we going to allow ourselves to tell ourselves about it?
Yeah, I need to rewrite the story. Like,
I would rewrite it, and I would take it to where it's like, you would tell someone and it would be so boring. Like, you would never lead with it. I notice this happens a lot when it comes to, like, traumatic experiences. Once the trauma part's over, we're so addicted to the trauma part, it's very hard to not just lead with it. Like, you know, I'm married and, you know, my husband, he had an aneurysm. Did you know that? Like, and it's not even, we don't even do it on purpose. It's like, I can't even tell you how many times I have told people, for no reason, Logan has autism.
Mm.
And it's like, you just get so used to, it's just the news and whatnot, but it feels like shit on the inside.
Yes.
I will promise you that if you, like, just tell me, like, if you're talking about your husband and you're telling somebody about his near-death experience, does that feel loving and, like, describing a great marriage? By the way, he had a near-death experience and aneurysms.
No, because I usually talk about it when it's been, I hate the word, but been triggered in some way, like when something has brought up that fear, that specific fear.
Yeah, what if you just couldn't talk about it during that time? What if you just had to talk about, like, yeah, no, he's fine now. It's just a guy going to India. Got a job. We got 2 weeks. Like, if I'm going to have drama, it's going to be over 2 weeks' notice.
Yeah.
You get to have enough sex. we could be telling that story.
Yeah.
Or we could be.
Yeah.
Getting ourselves up.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. When you do it from confidence, when you think he's got this trip to India and he has had an aneurysm before. So what we want to do is we want to make sure safeguards are in place. Not because I think he's going to die, but because this would be natural obstacles and strategies.
Yeah.
And you're like talking to Maya and you're talking to these people and it's not frantic and it's not the emergency button's been pushed. And it's not like we got to do all of this to keep him from dying. It's like, no, he's had a health problem in the past. We just want to make sure if anything happens, we got our bases covered. And you move on. Because here's the thing. You did all of that. In the last 2 weeks, you were frantic. He's either going to have an aneurysm or he's not. And the way you act up until that point when he gets back or has an aneurysm will be exactly the same. And nothing you do, nothing you think, nothing you fear, nothing you ever do is going to affect it.
Yeah, that's true.
Except the passing of time.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because I did all these, I got into all this action thinking that was going to change the feeling, but it didn't because my thoughts were still a clusterfuck.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it would have been easier. This is what you need to learn from it is like, notice like I'm wanting to do all this because I'm scared. Let me just address the scared real quick. It's like, he's not going to have an aneurysm. Everything's going to be fine. But somebody who's had an aneurysm, it would be smart to just do these things. That is a very different energy.
Yes.
That is like, you know, saying like, I'm not doing this because he's probably going to die on me. You're doing this because it's just, we're just getting ready for the trip. This is just part of what we just like. Some people pack snacks. We pack doctor's numbers.
And see, that's something that I've never, I can still prepare for the worst, let's say, without doing it out of fear. And I've always thought that I have to have that fear in order to prepare. And so, that's like mind-blowing for me.
So what is a feeling that could get you the same actions?
A feeling? I don't know. What would that feel like?
Well, it's like this. It's no different. Think about losing weight, okay? It's no different. How many people food prep every week out of fear they won't lose weight? Fear they'll get fat. How many people exercise every week for fear if they don't, they'll gain weight? For fear that they won't lose weight. What do we want them to have as a feeling to do food prep and to exercise and stuff?
So it's like self-care. So I could be doing that just out of self-care. Preparing.
Compassion.
Yeah.
Love. Safety.
Wow. I don't know why this is so mind-blowing for me. Like I can get the same actions. Like, I just felt, I've always believed that I have to be in fear to get preparation for the worst done. You know what I mean? Like, prepare for the worst, hope for the best kind of thing.
Let me ask you this. Why do you think people get wills? Because they're so afraid they're going to die? Time to get a will. I'm terrified. No, they want to prepare their shit for the day that, like, I have a will. And it isn't because I didn't go, like, all right. Chris, we can't go get our will until we're both scared shitless. We got to gin up our fears first. There's no way that could happen.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. God, this is such a shift for me. It's such a paradigm shift almost.
It is. This is the beautiful thing about thought work. Thought work is always just a paradigm shift. It's just a perspective change. That's all it ever is.
Yeah, it's just
be you watching when you go to drama around this and reeling the drama back in.
I'm so fucking good at.
Well, I'm glad you said it because the things that were fixing to come out my mouth were, you know, we've known each other a while now, Christy. And we have coached very often though on, and this is not just you, this is very common. We get into the habit of needing drama. I think a lot of us do this. It's like, without the drama, there's no action.
Yes.
Like, what if we don't have to create drama and we get to just choose action because we know it's the best thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Saves a lot of overeats, for sure.
Right.
All right.
I can't wait to listen to this again. Oh,
it's a good one.
I learn even more when I listen to them.
I'm glad I got to call on you. This was a good one.
Me too. I needed this really bad.
And you're coming in October too, right?
Oh, hell yes. Yeah. Yes.
It's going to be good. Excited.
The whole Hot Mess Express is going to be there. Like,
Did you see the email about? No, wait, you're already on the list. We're going to email you. Don't worry. You'll find out.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Sadie has not emailed you guys. Anybody that's lost over 100 pounds, we're trying to get you guys in early on Friday. So that you guys would be here for something to do, something with me. So
we
made a post to all the girls who are trying to get above 100 pounds. So we're really encouraging them. And then all of you who are already over 100 are automatically in. So.
Oh, cool. Exciting. I'm so excited. So excited. And the whole Hot Mess Express is coming to Dallas this weekend. And I'm so excited. We're having our own little retreat.
Y'all try not to burn the city down. I like to go there often.
We'll try not to. Okay. We'll try to leave Brooke's house standing.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Have a good one. Bye.
You will.
All right, Connie, I'm going to call on you, and then we're going to get on out of here. I got another one at 2 with our PNP Tribe mentors. All of our mentor team, they get a special call with me every month. And we're going to coach their asses. Coach their asses. What are we coaching on, Connie?
Well, I had a
are you driving?
Pardon?
Are you driving?
No, I'm just sitting in my car.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Somebody did that to me the other day. I was like, oh, my God, no, we can't do this. I'll be mortified if you, like, get in a wreck.
No, I'm getting ready to leave after we're done. I got to go get some groceries.
All right.
So I've just been, yesterday I got coached by Betsy. We talked about me doing the recovery worksheets. I talked to her about, doing good for 3 or 4 days and then I fall off and I'm just like, I joined in January and I haven't really made a whole lot of progress. I've been playing with about the same 5 pounds and so we coached about that, and she wants me to do the self-love course and also get the recovery sheets done when I have an overeat. But I was just listening. I thought I'd listen to you guys today coaching, and I was listening to Lauren's call, and I just kind of dawned on me that, a lot of this is coming from I'm separated from my husband a year now, and I'm just kind of feel like I'm in limbo with that. We haven't divorced. We're still in contact. And the bottom line is I just feel like, when Lauren was talking about it, you guys were talking about your biggest fear. And I just realized listening to her that my biggest fear is that I'm going to end up alone. And that biggest fear plays into because I'm overweight. So...
Well, are you alone now because you're overweight?
Yes, I guess that's reasonable to say that.
He left and said, "I'm out. You're overweight."
Well, I was overweight before he left. I mean,
that's why I'm asking you. We just want to clear up the facts here. Like, I want your brain to make a connection that the reason why y'all are separated is not because you weigh X amount.
No, no. I mean. That's never been brought up. There's a lot of other reasons. So
if that's not the case now, why would that be the case in the future for you finding another man?
Well, it goes back to how I feel about myself. I feel like, being overweight is going to stop anybody from being interested in me. So I know it's a bad thought.
Well, it's not even true. It's not that it's a bad thought. There's no good or bad thoughts.
Right.
It's right. Completely not true. Otherwise, no one over their goal weight would ever get married. I would not be married right now. I was overweight when I married Chris.
I just have a hard time, changing that thought around. So that's kind of what I want to work on, I guess.
Yeah, it's going to be hard because your brain has always thought it. Why do you care if it's hard is the question. It's like you're hanging on to it because it's like, well, it's really hard to retrain your brain, Corinne.
Yeah, it is. As I'm finding, I do feel like I've made some progress, though, because I have done, I've done a lot of plans and assessments where, the whole month of January when I first started, I didn't do anything. I just felt like I was just like stuck. I don't know. It was like one of those, okay, I'm starting another weight loss program. And for the whole month, I was just kind of stewing in this.
I think part of your problem is you're trying to commingle your future with what you're choosing to eat in the moment. They have nothing to do with each other.
Okay.
Nothing. Like every time you eat off plan, it's not because of your fear of being alone in the future.
Okay.
It's your fear of not having what you want in the moment.
Wow. Okay, that's going to take me a minute to absorb. It's my fear of not having what I want in the moment.
Tell me the last off-plan overeat you had.
Friday.
What'd you have?
Oh, I binged. I came home from work and I do.
Okay, so why didn't you just say no?
Why didn't I say no to the food?
Yeah.
because it's just a habit. That's what I do. I mean, I overeat instead of.
Yeah, but what if we couldn't have done it? What if I've been like, no, we're not doing this?
I don't know. I'm one of those people that has felt feelings for a long, long time. So I
Because you're eating. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's the fear of not being able to have what you want. Like, okay. I don't have what I want right now. Guess what I'm left with? All those shitty thoughts that I don't want to work on. They're just laying right there waiting to be thought, which they're going to be there.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It has nothing to do with if you're going to find a man. Now, one of those are probably the thoughts that come up. Like, if I'm not binging on a Friday night, I'm probably going to be thinking all of my self-loathing thoughts, like, I'm so fat, I'll never get a man. Like, all those things will come into play. So it's like, oh, it's the fear of not getting what you want. It's like, I need to eat this. Otherwise, I'm left with this. And what I want you to do is be like, I'm not eating this, and I'm left with figuring this out. The worst that's going to happen is every sentence and feeling that runs through my body.
Okay.
That is literally the worst that happens, because like you won't suddenly be divorced, and like nothing can happen in that moment other than no food, lots of thoughts.
Okay. So I fear my thoughts then. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty sure that's what's going on. Okay. Because you are locked in that they're hard to change. They're bad. You've got a story around your thoughts.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, tell me your story about your thoughts, other than they're hard to change, they're bad, and they seem very true. That's just what I picked up so far.
Yeah, right, right. You're right that I think they're true. And they're, you know, trying to separate myself from them so that I can stand back and look at them, you know. I don't do that very well, so I need to change that.
Well, here's the thing. It's not going to change until you do it really sloppy a few times.
Okay.
Like, nobody just, like, hears a magic something. Like, oh, now I know how to not have my binge, and the thoughts just come like a cloud and pass by, and I'm at peace and relaxation. No, not ever how it works. It's always like, all right, I'm not going to have the food. Every thought's going to come rushing in, fast and furious, along with every bit of hormone and chemical reaction that your brain's going to send. So you're still going to feel the urgency to eat to escape from it.
Right. Because
you told yourself a story that you're not good at feeling feelings. You told yourself a story that they're hard to feel, that they're true.
Right.
So you have to, like, just sit there literally and just be like, everything I'm thinking right now is literally just thoughts. Nothing's true right now.
Right.
Okay. It's not true that this will be easy. It's not true that it'll be hard. It's like nothing. I just want to know what I think. I think for you, that's just the first step. You got to know what you think.
Right. Just a second. Okay. So just getting them out on paper then, probably. So I can,
I would write them in. Like, I would never, like, this would be my new personal rule for you. You know how, like, when I first started, I had certain things I was going to do. I was going to eat ice cream out of a carton. I was going to walk 15 minutes a day. I had my baby steps. Right. I think you need a baby step with binging. If you're a binge eater, are you a binge eater?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah, clinical binge eating?
Well, I've never been diagnosed. I think I am. I do good all day long. And then when I get home after supper, I'm in the kitchen looking for stuff. And then once I start eating, I'm like, what else can I eat? What else can I eat?
Do you eat until you don't remember things? And do you eat until you're so uncomfortable that you, like, either get sick or near sick?
I wouldn't say I eat till I don't remember things, but I do make myself sick. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my stomach will hurt.
So let's just call it. I always like to clarify, because we have people who are like clinical binge eaters, and we have some people like, we'll say they binge and it's like four Oreos, you know, and it's like, well, that's an overeat. But I would have a new rule for myself. I'm not going to binge until I at least write down what I'm thinking. After that, whatever happens, happens.
Okay.
But there's got to be a baby step. And the first thing for you is going to be like, I need to know what the hell it is that I'm so afraid of thinking.
Okay.
And then I would do like I told the other girl, I think it might have been Lauren. No, it was Joy. No, I don't remember who it was. It was Christy. Somebody. I want you to take those thoughts. And I don't want you, like, if you feel like working on them, sometimes if you pause a binge or you pause the overeat and you get the thoughts out, that is enough for your reasoning brain to take back over and make another thought choice. Sometimes it's not.
Okay.
But the first step is always got to be like, we just got to figure out where your first step is. So it may just be to get them all out on paper. Then the next day is when you go back and you look at all of that and you use your conscious brain, the one that's not so emotionally tied up in the moment. You use it to kind of go back through everything.
Okay.
Then you do your thought work around it. Then you start like saying, okay, is this true? Or is this just something I keep telling myself it is? Do I even want to believe this anymore? So, like, there are so few facts in the world. And even, like, with Christy and her husband's aneurysm, she probably had a doctor tell her it was a near-death experience.
Right.
And it's not a helpful thought.
Right, right.
It's his thought about it.
Right.
So it's, like, really questioning all of it. Okay. Because it doesn't matter, honestly. You think that one of the reasons why you're so afraid is you may not find someone in the future. Mm-hmm. It's like, before you're going to be ready for someone else, you need to be ready for you first.
Right, right.
When you're ready for you, somebody else is a compliment to your life. They're not the person who's fulfilling your life.
Right.
And I would do the work on me right now.
Okay. I know I need to do that because, I mean, yeah. These thoughts have to be put in their place, you know. I mean, I've kind of been asking myself, is this thought serving you, you know, in the back of my mind? So, you know, but it's been consistent. So I thought, well, I'm going to see if I can raise my hand and talk to you. And I just kind of had a moment when Lauren was saying that was her deepest fear. And I thought, well, that's my deepest fear is being alone the rest of my life. So that's, you know, not a thought. That's not something that's going to serve me on learning to love myself.
I think that one thing that you want to work towards is I could be alone the rest of my life and it would be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really want you to think about if you ever get at peace with, like, usually if we're afraid to be alone, it's because we're afraid to be alone with ourselves.
Oh, okay. But
can I live with this? Because, I mean, I want you to think about it. If you loved yourself so much, would you be afraid to be alone?
Right. No, no.
No, you would be like, as much as I'd love to have a man or whatever,
yeah,
I still got me.
Yeah. Okay.
But people who don't have themselves are desperate for love outside of them because they're not fulfilling it for themselves. It's not that they don't want, like, it's like when you love yourself, it's not that you don't want to be married and stuff, but you're not desperate for it.
Right.
You're fearful you'll never get it.
Right.
Very different place. Like when you really start to establish a true relationship with yourself, then it becomes, as much as I would love to have someone, I know I always got me. That is like, I got me.
Yeah.
Everything else is like gravy now.
Yeah.
And that's where I want you to get to. So self-love and doing models and, you know, when you're, I've given you so much homework for God's sakes.
It's all right.
Like with that binging though, I just want you to, like all my binge eaters, I want y'all to like think about if there was going to be one small improvement in my binge eating. Most of us want to go to immediately dead stopping the behavior. There's so many things that have to happen before the behavior just naturally goes away.
Okay.
Like, just take a step. For some people, it's stopping the shame train. For some people, it's like, before I binge, like with you, I don't really know what I'm thinking and feeling. Well, first step is we got to just see what that is. And we're not going to judge ourselves because of it. We just want to know.
Right, right. Okay.
Then you can start deciding. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, lady. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everyone. Let me just tell you, I just want to reiterate how the calls work from now on, in case you guys are wondering. When we send the Massive Action Line out on Sunday, you can reply and look at the calls I'm doing that week. And if you want to get on a call, you just reply, send an email to support, and just tell them the call that you can get on and what you want to get coached on. And that's how we're doing it now. I think it's working out so much better because we're able to get a few extra people on if we want. And, you know, it really is like people know their schedule for about a week out in advance. So it always helps with show up rates. Other than that, it is a gift of fat. Y'all make sure you check your Massive Action Line. If you lost your weight and stuff, there is a link in there. We really want to hear from you. There might be prizes involved, so don't forget to fill that out. And time management is up and ready. It's called Mastering Time. That is going to be the course for August. So it's up on the website. And one-on-one coaching is now up on the website. I can't think of anything else. The new planner is coming out in like 3 or 4 weeks. That will be up on the website. So we just got all the crazy things happening right now. They're so good. Anyway, you guys have a good one. I'll be back tomorrow night where we're going to have our final installment of Gift of Fat, where we're going to talk about special diets, intermittent fasting, and something else. I forget the three, but anyways, like special diets, intermittent fasting, and maybe it's like a deeper dive into the, like just basically all the different facets of food. All right, y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.